We want to welcome to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line, Charlie Johnson. And Charlie is a gentleman we've had a chance to have on the show from time to time. We always appreciate his expertise and his insight. He is the CEO and president of the FM Convention and Visitors Bureau. Kind enough to give us a few minutes here on Friday. Hi, Charlie. How are you?
Steve, I'm good. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, thank you for making time to be with us here on this Friday afternoon. I don't want to call you a short timer because that kind of has a derogatory meaning here, but you only have a couple months left here, August, right? You're going to be stepping down from the position?
Yeah. Looks like it'll be end of August, early September, depending on when they fill the position. They posted it about 2 weeks ago. They're going to go through the process. They figure it'll take until, late August, early September to actually get someone, in town, whether it's someone in town or they bring someone in. But so they're accepting applications right now, and I've got a lot to do in the meantime. I'll just keep plugging away.
Yeah, well, you said a lot to do. That is absolutely the truth. There's probably been more talk about convention centers here in the metro area over the last few months than there has been maybe ever voters agreed through a lodging tax to make it possible for there to be a new convention center somewhere in the metro area sometime in the not-too-distant future. And then the White Earth Band announced plans to do its development over outside of Moorhead, and that's going to have a convention center there as well. So Here you guys are just minding your own business, trying to figure out how to keep things rolling in your plan, and all of a sudden this thing comes along. Was it a big bombshell to you, and has it been a problem for you guys at all?
No one actually knew it was. I got a little bit of a heads up. Someone let me know that the land had been purchased for more than it would have been if they were going to farm it. So I figured something was coming. But I don't see. Everyone asked me this question, and my answer is I don't see it as a problem at all. I think the convention center we're working to get built in Fargo on the North Dakota side, and whatever they're able to develop, if it comes to fruition on the Minnesota side, just outside of Moorhead, I think they can potentially be very complementary to each other. The reason I say that is even when we get a bigger convention space up and running in Fargo, there are still hundreds of associations in Minnesota associations, right? And we've been trying to get them to come to Fargo-Moorhead for the whole 13 years I've been working at this. And before that, my predecessor, Cole Carley, worked hard at it. We can hardly get them up here for two reasons. The number one reason is they can't or won't, according to their bylaws, meet on the North Dakota side. And we just don't have a big enough space for most of them on the Moorhead side. So if they actually build a convention center that's of close to 100,000 square feet, I think it gives us an opportunity to attract meetings from Minnesota from time to time, more than from time to time, I hope, that still wouldn't be able to come to North Dakota. So I think in the end, it's a win-win. I think the city and the county need to go through all the right steps, and they need to make sure they get, whatever arrangements for payment in lieu of taxes they can get, because if it goes into trust land, then it's not subject to property tax.
Mm-hmm.
But there are countless stories of tribes around the country who have built these properties near or in cities, and they have struck deals where they pay something close to or exactly the same of what the property tax would have been. And I think if they get that taken care of, and if they solve the problem of making sure they get city services, sewer and water from Moorhead, most likely the place it would come from, since it's in Moorhead's extraterritorial territory, and so they don't have to deal with that aquifer. They're not going to want to be sinking wells into that aquifer. And then as long as there's nothing hazardous over it, I think if the cities and counties can be satisfied and bring those services out to them, I think from our standpoint, it's no problem. If anything, it's a boon for the city. It'll bring more development to Moorhead.
You dropped an interesting little nugget there that I had not heard before. You had said, if I heard you right, that there are instances across the country where tribal groups have put together facilities, but instead of basically saying, no, we're not paying any taxes at all, they would still pay like what you would get for the empty parking lot or the farmland or whatever at a much decreased rate in maybe, arguably to kind of make it a little better public, relations story.
Yeah, I think it would be more than what the land was, right now. It would be more than what they're getting now. That's what I think the county and the city would want. And if they can work that out, and there are, you know, don't ask me for specifics, but I know there are cases where casinos have been built on trust land where it didn't get worked out in advance and wasn't such a great thing. But I think there are lots of places where it did get worked out. And I think the tribes are generally very willing to do what is necessary and pay their fair share in order to get what is for them likely to be a profitable operation up and running.
Yeah, interesting. So where do we stand on the Fargo side of the river as far as the plans and getting sort of things lined up?
Well, we've been meeting weekly. We have our Commission Center Committee that we put together. We got it approved late January, so we started meeting in early February. We have 9 members on the committee, plus all 5 city commissioners are technically on the committee. And we've been meeting almost pretty much weekly. We only skipped one, I think, around Easter to try to prepare the request for proposal document that's going to go out. So the way this is set up, we asked voters to approve the additional 3% lodging tax, which they did. Thank you all very much. Thank you for helping, by the way. I was on your radio station several times in this process, and I appreciate that, helping us get the word out. But it didn't lay out a location. I'm sure you remember that a year previously we had done a combo vote with Fargo Dome and the convention center mm-hmm. to be built there specifically, and that did not get the required 60% because the Fargo Dome renovations were based on a sales tax. So when we lumped them together, they both needed 60%. So long story short, when we split the votes, then we didn't need 60% for the lodging tax, but they still needed the 60% for the dome vote. So we were able to get 52%. Unfortunately, the dome didn't get what it needed, but hopefully they'll find their way through it soon. But it was set up so that we'd set up the committee and we would, if voters approved, we would prepare a request for proposals and invite developers to give us proposals, and then the committee would get together and pick one. So right now we're working hard on the nitty-gritty now of trying to get the things we want in the first phase. It'll be a two-phase process. The first phase of the RFP, minimum requirements, and then we're trying to figure out how we're going to score it when it comes back in. And we actually, you know, we made some good steps today. I'm hoping that in the next 3 weeks, maybe we'll be able to get it to the city commission to see if they'll approve it, and then we can send the first phase sometime in early to mid-June.
Okay, so
we'll see who bites.
Yeah, right. No, well, interesting. You had a meeting today. Any kind of good developments or nuggets coming out of today's meeting?
Well, just the fact that we made progress. We really got pretty focused in on. Well, this is way more than you probably want to know, but we before this week we had like four quadrants, four categories of with line items in them, like location and concept plan. Who's the team going to be? And today actually we were able to do some moving around, and we discovered there were some redundancies. So we got actually down to now we have 3 quadrants. So we're going to have three areas, each of which will have line items. So like the first area, the first one is the site considerations. That has maybe 10 or 11 line items in it. Maybe we may have knocked that down to 9 now. Anyway, so then, and we did determine today that the site consideration should probably be worth 40% of the scoring when we get to it. And then the other two, the concept plan and the development team, basically in broad strokes, will each be worth 30%. So then next week, we're going to start talking about how we're going to score each of those individual line items and then start working on that process.
Will you?
So, like I say, if we hopefully will get this all out by the early June.
Yeah. Will you be kind of acting as, I'll use the term general contractor for lack of a better way of saying it, but will the Convention Visitors Bureau like organize that, or will you be like taking bids from developers and they've got to find the sites and all that within the city?
Oh yeah, the latter. Yeah, we're asking developers to propose a site and a concept plan. That's mm-hmm. basically what we first. minimum requirements, the number one requirement, because this was sold as a public-private partnership, right? So the public part is the lodging tax that will be used to build the convention facility, and then the private part is what kind of hotel. We're going to require that it have a hotel attached, and what kind of hotel it's going to be, what kind of restaurant it's going to have. We're going to say preferably a full-service hotel, and then maybe some additional meeting space in that, mixing and matching. So, but I think each one of the proposals we get will be somewhat different. And we're kind of, we want to be a little bit vague in the RFP so we leave room for creativity from the developers.
How long before you expect to make an award of that? And when does ground get broken? Uh-huh. When does something get built, do you think?
Oh. Well, you're getting way out beyond the horizon. But if we can get the RFP first, if we can get the RFP out, so it's accepting proposals, start accepting proposals like early June, I hope. We've talked a lot about this. We'll probably give a 30-day window for developers to come back and ask questions, and then another 30 to 60 days for them to submit for the first phase. And depending on how many we get, then the committee will get back together probably in August or September and go through those and try to narrow it down to maybe, you know, who knows how many we'll get. I think we'll get five or more. That's what I'm hoping.
Okay.
And if we can narrow it down to maybe four or three, depending on how they come out, and then we're going to have a second phase where we'll probably be talking to them and saying, now you need to get more granular and more specific about what kind of hotel it's going to be. We need a better architectural plan, and we need more about the financing.
Yep.
And that sort of thing. So then I assume there'll be another 60 to 90 days after that. I think it would be unrealistic to think, you know, maybe a project will be picked by the end of 2025 or early 2026. And once a project is picked, once the city commission, our group will make recommendations, the city commission will vote on it themselves. Of course, all five city commissioners are technically on the committee, mm-hmm. so you wouldn't think there'd be too much discussion when you get there, but I'm sure there'll be some. And then, so once they've struck a deal with a developer, that's when the lodging tax collection of that tax will start, the additional 3%. That hasn't started yet. It won't start until the project is set to go.
Makes sense.
And then I don't know how long it takes. You know, I'm not a construction guy, Steve. Mm-hmm. So you know, I think six to eight or nine months before they even get into the ground.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
I think end of 26. I would guess early 27 is probably when construction might start.
Okay. Yeah.
If
and then
all things go
years after that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Sure does. Yeah. Thanks for walking us through that timeline. Good stuff, Charlie. Thanks for taking some time here on a Friday afternoon to help give us an update. Sometimes it's just nice to hear a little bit about it. It's been a little bit since we heard anything. What's going on? So thank you for giving us the update.
Yeah. Well, and all of our meetings are public. They're broadcast live on the City Commission website. And they're archived, so you can go back and look at them if you want. It's very open and transparent. The market study we had done by our friends at HBS Consulting is posted on our website. You can see that. And any other documents that come with us, we got a pro forma. You know, how much money can we raise with that? What can we bond against it that we had last week? That's on our website.
Okay.
So it's a completely open process.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, thank you for shedding a little light on it and giving us some good updates, Charlie. Thanks for taking the time.
You bet.
Charlie Johnson, Convention and Visitors Bureau President and CEO.